and it reads as follows, Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth another servant, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with the guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there is a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away. Cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The title of the sermon this morning is, Are You Dressed for the Wedding? Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Heavenly God, dear Lord, we come to you as humble servants this morning. We come, dear God, because we need you. We need your guidance. We need your love, dear God. And most of all, dear Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. So this morning, dear God, I ask you as we sit here, Lord, to clear our minds of all the stresses of the world. Lord, let us fix our minds, dear God, that we can fix our minds on you and the word that's being said today. Lord, I ask that you keep me at your feet. I ask you to do bless the words that come out of my mouth, that it be yours, dear God, for your people. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen. Amen. In this parable, church, Jesus is painting a picture of the rejection of the nation of Israel. And he is warning them of their certain doom. He is also telling them of his intentions to fill his father's house with people other than themselves. You see, church, the king in this parable sends his servants out to find other guests to come to the wedding celebration. And as they gather themselves together, the king notices a man in the company of a guest who does not have on a wedding garment. And ultimately, the man is cast out of the wedding celebration. O church, these verses paint a clear picture of our salvation. And I say this because when Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah, he turned to the Gentiles. You see, church, the Lord intends to fill his heaven with the redeemed, with the saved from the earth. And only those who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will be admitted into God's heaven. The Bible tells us that when the redeemed of the Lord gather together there in heaven, that there will be a marriage. There will be a time of celebration known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you can read about this in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. You know, church, there has been much preaching about this event, and much of it can stir up the heart. It will make you think. It will make you wonder. But let's face it, church, the Bible doesn't say a lot about this marriage supper of the Lamb. But one thing, however, that is noteworthy is what it does say about it is, in verse 8, it tells us that the people involved in this heavenly celebration will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white garments. It is these garments that I want to focus on this morning. And as we look at the events of this parable, it seems to me that this garment, church, is of the utmost importance. Oh, church, when it comes time for this wedding, it seems from the Bible you must be dressed properly or you will not be admitted. You know, church, all we know that eternity is coming and our lives will not last forever. Amen? So you need to be absolutely certain this morning that you will be clothed in a proper attire when you reach the end of your earthly journey. Amen? So today I would like to talk around this question. Are you dressed for the wedding? I want to talk about a few points from the passage as we think on the question this morning. Are you dressed properly for this wedding? The first point I want to talk about is the availability of the garment, this clean and white garment they're talking about. So we see in verse 10 that it is available to all. In this parable, the king sends his servant into the highways, literally the wide places or the palaces, to gather together all that they found. He wasn't concerned about their character. He wasn't concerned about their past. He wasn't concerned about their social standings or their abilities or about their popularity or any other consideration. He just wanted whoever would to come to the wedding celebration. Oh, church, this is a perfect picture of what the Lord has done for us in his plan of salvation. When the Lord formulated his plan of salvation, church, do you know what he did for us? He prepared a way that was open to all men from all walks of life. Amen? God's plan is available to whoever will come. If we look at Romans 10 and verse 13, Romans 10 and verse 13, it tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen? It didn't say he might be saved or he could be saved. It said that he shall be saved, meaning that it will happen. If you call on the Lord with a pure heart, it will happen. God will save you. In Revelation 22 and 17, he tells us, "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So simply speaking, church, the plan of salvation and the garment of righteousness is available to anyone who deserves it, who desires it. Amen? And we look in verse 9, we see that it is available by invitation. Church, notice that the king sent his servants to invite people to the wedding. And again, this pitches salvation. While anyone can be saved by the grace of God, before anyone can be saved, church, they must be called by the Lord. When we read in John 6 and 44, it tells us that Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will rise him up on that last day." You see, church, you can only be saved when the Lord is dealing with your heart. Your heart has to change, amen? It has to be in line with God's character, amen? And here lies one of the most dangerous areas of salvation. Now hear me now, saints. Brother Stevens, how can you say salvation can be dangerous? It's supposed to be something that's good. Amen? Oh, church, many people feel convicted by their sins and put God off for whatever reason. They believe that they will be saved, but they will be able to do it when they are ready. But that's not so, church. And here's the truth of the Bible. The only time anyone can ever be saved is when the Lord is dealing with their hearts. And you know what is dangerous, else is dangerous, church, is that God has promised to deal with all men, right? He has promised to deal with all men. Well, we see in John 1 and 8 and 9, it tells us that. It says, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen? However, church, God has not promised to call men repeatedly or continuously. We see that in Genesis 6 and 3 as it reads, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also is flesh. Yet this day shall be 120 years. Oh, church, I come to say this morning that there will be a day, there will come a day after the Spirit of God has been turned away, when God will no longer deal with a lost heart. If a person fails to respond to the call of the Lord for salvation, there is always a danger of stepping over God's deadline and condemning your soul. And my prayer this morning is, church, including myself, if the Lord has been calling you to be saved, if he's been calling you to get rid of every sin that may beset you, if he's been calling you to have a better prayer life, if he's been calling you to come out of the world, if he's been calling you to have a closer walk with him, I plead with you this morning, come today. Do it now, while there's still time to get right with the Lord. The second point I want to talk about this morning is the acceptance of the garment. You see, in those days, it was common in the weddings involving the wealthy to provide each guest with a white wedding garment. And when the guests accepted the invitation, they would be given their garment, and they would then wear it to the wedding when the day arrived. Oh, church, again, this is a perfect picture of what salvation is all about. The day a person accepts the Lord's invitation, Jesus, and salvation, that person receives a robe of righteousness. Amen? That is, their sins are forever forgiven, and they are justified by faith. You see, church, God sees them as he sees his son, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? God sees us as he sees his son, Jesus. Excuse me. And Paul referred to this same idea in Philippians 3, 8 and 10. You know, church, the wedding garment is given to every believer at the instant of conversion. And it is worn by every believer all the time. And I can say thank you, Jesus. Because once we converted, God gives us a white robe, a clean robe of righteousness that we wear all the time. Amen. This robe represents what? God's character. Amen. We have to have God's character to enter into this wedding celebration. And there are four truths about this garment that I need to understand this morning, that we need to understand. First, it is received by faith. The way to get the wedding garment is by simply faith, church. It is given to those who place their faith in Jesus alone for their salvation. No one will ever get their wedding garment by being religious. No one will ever get their wedding garment by being good. It will be given only when a sinner places his faith, hallelujah, in the atoning works of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Secondly, it is totally free. This garment of righteousness is totally free. This garment cannot be purchased at any price. It is received only when faith in the gospel message has been exercised. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Stevens? In other words, you have to put the word of God to the test. You have to stand on it no matter what comes or what goes. You have to let the word of God manifest itself inside of you. You see, it matters not how much money or material a person has, nor does it matter how little one has. All that matters is faith. When a person receives Jesus as Savior, God puts on the wedding garment. In other words, he puts on the character of Christ, hallelujah, and he's getting us ready for this wedding celebration. And oh, church, I can't wait. We're going to a party. We're going to hear this. What I'm saying this morning. We're going to a celebration in the morning, and we're going to a celebration, a wedding celebration in the noonday. and we're going to a wedding celebration in the evening. We're going to a non-stop, everlasting wedding celebration. And, oh, church, we're going home with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for eternity. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Once we receive that garment of righteousness, it's going to be an everlasting wedding celebration. Thirdly about this garment is that it will be a proper fit. You know, sometimes, church, I have a hard time finding suits that fit me. And it's my fault because of my body type. But the fact remains, church, that I must get a tailor to tailor my suits in order for them to fit right. But glory to God, the wedding garment given by the Lord is a perfect fit every time. It fits the old and the young and the old. It fits the big and the little. It fits the rich and the poor and the short and the tall. God's church, God's wedding garment fits every life perfectly. And salvation is a perfect fit for everyone. Amen? And I can say that no one was ever made worse off by receiving Jesus Christ. No life was ever ruined or turned upside down by a personal relationship with our King. Amen? In fact, church, every life ever truly touched by His hand of grace and power was made far different and better than it could ever been otherwise. Oh, yes, Christ changes life, but always for the better. When we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us, if any man been in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things become new. You know, church, none has ever found that the Lord didn't fit. And I can say, and those who say they tried it and failed never had it from the beginning. So I can truly say this morning, church, that salvation fits every life perfectly. Fourthly about this garment is that it is approved by the Father. Notice, church, when the King came and saw a man without the wedding garment, he was forced out and rejected by the King. For many are called, but few are chosen. He was forced out. Oh, church, the garment was a requirement to be in the presence of the King and to attend the wedding. You know, the same is true when it comes to the garment of salvation. To be without one is to face God unprepared. And the truth of the matter is every person clothed in the garment of Jesus' righteousness will be accepted by God the Father in heaven. So we can really say that religion won't do it. Good works won't do it. Being good won't do it. Being kind won't do it. The only thing that will clothe you in such a way to make you pleasing to the Lord's sight is for you to receive Jesus as your Savior and for Him to clothe you in His righteousness, for Him to clothe you in His character. Amen? Amen. Oh, my church family, I come to say this morning, when the saints arrive in heaven, hallelujah, we will not be admitted on the basis of what we did or did not do, but we will be admitted purely on the basis of what attire we have had on. If we have the robe of righteousness on, amen? Because all them other things would have been judged beforehand. When we come before the Lord, the clothes of the robe of righteousness and the character of Jesus will be already upon us. Amen. We'll be already like the King already. Amen. It has been said, church, that the clothes does not make the man. But I come to say this morning, I know some people who won't even talk to you if you aren't dressed up to their standards. They won't even look your way if you're not acting like the way they think you should act. All they want to do is stare and roll their eyes at you and shake their heads and mumble something underneath their breath. You know, there's something that happened to me yesterday. I was going to the doctor's office for a checkup. And as I was going into the doctor's office, there was a young, tall man there. He had a hat over his head, and he wasn't dressed too properly good. And he had this earphones on his head, and he was just bopping and talking and saying a profound language in this rap music. And I came in and I walked in, and as I walked through, and I said, what is this idiot doing? Where is it going to take him in his life? What is he going to do? But as I walked past him, the Holy Spirit hit me across my head. And it says, who are you to judge anybody? I love him just like I love you. I died on the cross for him just like I died for you. That was your opportunity to tell him that I loved him. You know, church, after I took a few steps and went up the elevator, I felt bad. And right then, I felt sorry for him, and I told Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. You know, church, we have to watch out about what we say that we're righteous. Satan is out to seek and destroy everything that he possibly can. And we have to be prayed up and stayed up in the Lord. You know, because Satan will come to us so quickly, and we don't even know that he's down. So I had to ask God to forgive me. So the next time my opportunity comes for me, I won't look down and think I'm so righteous than anybody else. And I'll say, Lord, what should I say to this person? And God will give it to you. Amen? And these are some of the people that I'm talking about, the church folks I'm talking about. Oh, but oh, whether this is right or wrong, I can't say. But I do know that how we are dressed when we leave this world will determine where we are sealed in eternity. Oh, church, smoking or non-smoking, the question is this morning, will you be approved by God the Father? And the answer is, you can be. But only if you are clothed in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we find that in Romans 4, verses 23 and verses 25. So we must ask ourselves, what kind of garment are you wearing this morning? And fifthly about this garment is that it has the ability to change our appearance. You know, church, in our modern weddings, the bride does her best to stand out from everyone else at that wedding, at her wedding. However, in ancient times, everyone looked the same at the wedding. They all wore the same type of garments, and they were all identically dressed. But, oh, church, so it is with salvation. When a person comes to Jesus to be saved, he changes them completely. He changes them externally from the outside. He changes them internally from the inside. And he changes them eternally. He has them forever. Oh, church, so great is the change that even the Lord never sees that person the same again, ever again. Amen? He looks at them through the filtered blood of Jesus and declares that to them to be justified and righteous is in his sight. Oh, church, when we are wearing the wedding garment, we are clean in the sight of the Lord. Amen? Nothing that we can do can get us that clean, but only through the robe of righteousness. The sixth point about this garment is that it covers our appearance. When these people were found, probably some were dirty. Others may have been beggars dressed in rags. Some may have been wealthy and well-dressed in all their finery that money could buy. But whatever their appearance when they were called, when they put on the wedding garment, it covered everything completely. Church, gone was the filth, gone was the ugliness and the rags, and all that could be seen was the white cleansingness of the wedding garment. You know, church, the Bible tells us that our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. And sadly enough, many are blind to the true truth of their condition, of our condition. But you know what, church? What a person places in his faith is in Jesus for salvation. And they are covered by his righteous and all the filth and all the rags and all the ugliness and all the wealth and all the sins is forever covered by the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God. Amen. We ought to be thanking Jesus for what he's done for us, because we can get back in the presence of Almighty God if he's lived as we say that he lived. My friends, we ought to be thanking God this morning, because when we are saved, we are seen as being clean in the sight of God. Not by our works, not by our goodness, but by the grace of Almighty God. So I asked again, are you dressed this morning properly? The seventh point I would like to talk about is the absence of the garment. In this parable, church, after the guests arrived for the wedding, the king saw the man who had no wedding garment. I want us to understand this point clearly. That is, if you try to go to heaven without a wedding garment, certain things will come to pass in your life. One would be it will produce a showdown. Oh, what are you talking about, Brother Stevens? It's going to produce a showdown. You know, when the king saw a man without a garment, he confronted him about it. Oh, my friends, everyone sitting in the pews need to remember that there will come a day when every person will face God one-on-one. For the saved, it will take place at the judgment seat of Christ. We see that in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 to verse 10. For the lost, that dreadful day will be at the great white throne of judgment. We see that in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Every person, my friends, who lived and died without a wedding garment will have to stand before the Lord and give an account of their lives and deeds. Another thing that will come to pass will be the absence of the garment is that it will produce a shock. When the man saw that he was not hidden from the king, the Bible says that he was speechless. That is, he made no excuse for his condition, and he offered no apologies. The bottom line, church, is that when he was confronted with the truth, there wasn't much that he could say about his condition. And oh, I come to say that this is what will happen to all those who die without Jesus. When they face the Lord in judgment, they will stand unable to plead their case before him who knows every heart. My friends, many are deceived about their condition this morning, but there is a great need to be sure. We see that in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22. No excuses will suffice, no appeal will be heard, no promise will be heeded. Even the cry of repentance will fall on the deaf ears at that time. But you know, church, it will be a shock to find that the one who could have saved you has now become your judge. You know, church, the time to be saved and to the serious Lord now is to be saved now. The time to be saved is the serious time and is to be saved now. And lastly, I want to talk about the absence of the garment. It will produce shame. The man in the parable was cast into utter darkness. And, oh, church, every person who leaves this world clothed in their sins and not in the righteousness of Jesus Christ will be apart from the Lord. The one who died from them made a way for their salvation. And you know, church, there will be no greater shame than being forever cast away from the presence of our Lord. So in conclusion this morning, the question still remains, are you dressed for the wedding this morning? Are you prepared? You say, Brother Stevens, how do I know that I'm dressed for the wedding? Well, it all depends on what you have done with Jesus. If you have never received him as your Savior, then you have lost and you must be born again. If, however, there has been a time in your life when you have bowed as a sinner and called on Jesus by faith, confessed your sins, and received him into your life, then you are saved. But if there is the slightest doubt in your heart this morning, the slightest little inkling about your condition or where your soul may be, I challenge each and every one of us right now, where you're sitting, to say a quiet prayer to yourself, and to your Lord and Savior to come completely, fully into your life. And while we're doing that this morning, while we prepare to do that in yourself, let us stand as we sing our closing hymn, 499, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your message. We thank you, dear God, for your word, dear Lord, that it may permeate our minds and our souls this morning. And Lord, as we leave this place, dear God, we ask you, dear Lord, that your words be in our hearts and give us a closer walk with thee. Lord, we cannot do anything without your word. And as we studied in Sabbath school this morning, your word is truth. And your truth is to all generations. Lord, as we come to the closing of the end of time, Lord, I ask you to look upon each and soul that are standing in this building right now. And Lord, I ask you that your Holy Spirit dwell wherever we go, that our minds will be focused on you. And that, Lord, when you come for your people, that you will choose us to have your garment of righteousness on us, that we may attend the wedding feast, the ceremony that you have for us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your precious Son and all that you've done. Keep us, Lord, until you come. In Jesus' precious name, amen.